Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to keep going on this series, showing the evidence for the divine inspiration of the Bible. And specifically, we're talking about Daniel 11. We're starting verse 35 today. We're going to go to verse 40, and we're going to keep with the typical Youth Apologetics Training 10 to 15-ish minute podcasts. So we're keeping them short. So anyway, let's just go ahead and jump right in. And so moving on here, Daniel chapter 11, verse 35, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Okay, so what are we looking at here? When it says until the time of the end, we're talking about the 70 weeks here. There might be a secondary meaning here, and I'm not going to discount that, but we're talking about the end of the 70 weeks and also until the end of the time of the Jews' supremacy, their time of being a real prominent nation. So we're looking at major persecution. Some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white. And what ends up happening is because of the Jews, all their victories under this Maccabean family, the Gentiles and the surrounding nations start persecuting the Jews, and they start killing them. Also, some of the Jews who are not believers join into this persecution. And Judas Maccabee ends up dying around 161 BC, and there's just a lot of persecution going on. And then moving on to verse 36, then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. And so previously we know that Antiochus the IV, he died, and this new king of prominence here, you know, in whom Daniel and his people have to do, right? Because that's what we're looking at here. This new king is Herod, and he's the guy that comes into view now as we continue in this 490 years of prophecy, the 70 weeks that Gabriel is talking to Daniel about. Now Herod comes into the picture. He does according to his own will. Herod's reign and his coming to power is riddled with bloodshed, intrigue, conspiracies, and he does it all. And this guy doesn't care about anybody. He does nothing but exalt and magnify himself. And he does magnify himself above every god. Now, right here where it says every god, he's talking about not only – this word here is used not only to refer to pagan gods, but also just people of high stature. And Herod does exactly that. And then moving on – he even speaks blasphemies against the God of gods. Now we're talking about our God, right? And this is the Herod who very soon hereafter goes after all the two-year-olds and younger in throughout the land who possibly could be the Messiah, right? But we're going to get to that. In verse 37 here, it says, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers. And don't forget, Herod was a Jew. In fact, he referred to himself as a Jew. But anyway, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. All right, check this out. So he doesn't regard the God of his fathers, right? Which would be Yahweh, the God of the Bible. But he goes ahead and sets up all these temples. Throughout Herod's life, he builds all kinds of temples to different men and gods, you know, a temple to Pan and a temple to honor Caesar Augustus. And it just goes on and on. He builds a temple to Baal, a temple to Apollo. But here we go on here, and it says, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. What is that? Guys, this is a reference to our Messiah, the desire of women. In Haggai 2:7, the desire of all nations is a reference to Jesus. And that's what's being talked about here. And when Herod found out that the king of the Jews had been born, this desire of women, he had all of the children slaughtered in an attempt. And, you know, all children in that area in an attempt to stop the Messiah and his rise. And he saw this king of the Jews as a threat to his throne. So he wanted to have Jesus executed. He didn't know where Jesus was specifically, so he just had all the children executed. He's a pretty nice guy. So, oh boy. Yeah. So moving on to verse 38. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses and a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. So check this out. The Romans claimed to be gods. The different Roman emperors, they were always claiming to be a god of some kind, right? Kind of similar to a lot of the pharaohs who claimed to be gods. And the Romans were known for their military, their forces, their fortresses. And so it's interesting. In a sense, he did honor a god of fortresses, which is the Roman leadership, the Roman emperors. These guys were the gods of fortresses in the Romans' eyes. And Herod gave a lot of money to build, again, like I was saying before, different temples in honor of different Roman emperors and leaders, as if, you know, giving worship to these guys as gods. It's crazy. And he honored them with lots of gold and silver. So moving on to verse 39, thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. And so moving on here, and Daniel just nails it, because the Roman emperor backed Herod, he was able to overcome all his enemies. And as he is doing this, he's giving land and authority to whoever supports him. So he's dividing the land and giving it to his supporters. So moving on to verse 40 here. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him. All right, so here we go. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. So looking back at the previous verse, this just kind of continues on. We have Herod, and he's getting the backing and support of the Roman emperor. And because of this, Herod was able to overcome all his foes. And like I said earlier, along the way here, Herod was giving land away and authority to whoever supported him. And that was his way of gaining people's allegiance. So, moving on to verse 40 here, and we're going to kind of change subjects. So verses 36 through 39, we're speaking more of Herod, but as I've mentioned a few times now, this prophecy, this 490 years worth of prophecy, this is awesome. This whole prophecy is centered around Israel and the surrounding nations and how it affects Israel during these 490 years. So verse 40 starts off with, at the time of the end, and what they're speaking about there, that time of the end is the end of this prophecy. So the end of the 490 years. Is there a parallel between this time of the end here and the end times? I don't know, guys. I don't know. But it is pretty obvious that at least the primary interpretation of this is talking about the end of this 70 weeks of Daniel. All right, so moving in here. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, and many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at some king of the south who will attack first. Then this king of the north will come against him. He will come like a whirlwind. He'll have chariots, horsemen, and many ships. And this king of the north shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. So how did this work out? Well, here we go. This king of the south was Mark Antony, and he was allied with Cleopatra. The king of the north is Octavius, and he was a representative of Rome and was the ruler of the former Syrian empire of the Seleucids. Okay? And as prophesied, the king of the south, this Antony guy, along with Cleopatra, she was kind of the one encouraging this whole thing, he makes the first move against the king of the north. And then the king of the north, this Octavius, responds by assembling a large army as well. So we have these two large armies of chariots and horses, and then a large navy, and a total of 630 ships out in the water. So they have this huge naval battle, as well as horsemen and chariots. And as the prophecy goes, the king of the north, this Octavius, beat the king of the south. Antony was defeated. The king of the north did pass through the land. And just kind of as a side note here, Herod, the guy from the previous verses, Herod ended up making peace with Octavius, and, well, he pretty much humbled himself in front of Octavius and told Octavius that he would serve him and be loyal to him, and Octavius accepted that, and so Herod was spared, and basically he allied himself with Octavius at this point. So verse 40 was, once again, fulfilled with flying colors here. Just awesome. I love this. And I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. By the way, guys, thank you for everybody who has come out to the Youth Apologetics Training Facebook page and clicked the like button. That helps immensely get this message out. It's amazing how when you click the like button, people see stuff. So yeah, thank you to all you guys who have been doing that. And also thank you for the ones who have been clicking the like button when I post teachings. That, again, that just, it gets the word out, and I appreciate that. So anyway, I guess I don't need to say you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter too. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.